This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
Man, oh man, so many reminders yesterday online to set your clocks ahead. How many of you still have to do that? Would you just raise your hand? I just want to see. Like you know your technology does that now for you, Kent. Yeah, okay, so we're glad you're here. We're glad you woke up. Welcome to all of our guests, those out in the lobby, and a lot of people in the courtyard right now over at the chapel and everyone online. We're glad you're here. As part of our worship, we take an offering at this church. And we're in a series on parenting, so I think it's fitting to just share. At 50 years old, I tithe to the church because of a dad who I remember if I made $10 mowing a lawn, I would have to go down to his desk with that $10, and he created the envelope system long before you heard the name Dave Ramsey. And there was a tithe envelope, a missions envelope, a savings envelope, and then a spending envelope that was always empty. And when you see that over and over and over and over again, that's what we talked about last week, the influence of a parent. You see everything, you hear everything, you remember, then you repeat. And if that wasn't part of your childhood, we encourage you with generous and cheerful giving, and we say thank you for it. There's four ways that you can give. Offering boxes located in the foyer. You can go to the Church Center app, hit give online now at woodhills.org, or text any amount to 84321. We're in part two this week of intentional parenting, and how many of you grew up with a singing mom? Let me just see your hands. She sang early in the morning, right? My mom would walk in, throw the curtains open, two of her songs, this is the day that the Lord, or what was the other one? Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. And you know what teenagers want to do at 6 a.m.? Rise and shine and give God the glory. So I just want to encourage parents. Your teenagers are going to say they don't want it, but deep down they want you waking them up in the morning with song, I promise you. So sing loud and in charge in your home. And so we talked last week about the influence of the parent. You're the primary author of your child's heart. Today, as part of our series, we're talking about how the church joins you in your child's spiritual journey and how two combined influences are better than one. And remember, we said and ended last week with no guilt trips. This isn't about going on a guilt trip. Delete the narrative that says it's too late. It's my fault. We don't feed our regrets at this church. We ask Jesus to redeem our remaining days. And I heard from a friend after the last service as we were walking out. He said, I wish I would have had this 30 years ago. And you know what's cool? Here's what's cool. In this room and across this campus and online, there is so much influence here right now. And if you feel like you blew it as a parent and you have a lot of regret as a parent and you still have breath, the scripture says, if you're among the living, you have hope. And you're part of a church, no matter what your age, no matter what your stage of life, you get to be a part of influencing the next generation. And for that, we say thank you. So be a part of what God's doing at this church. As over 500 kids will be on this campus today. Hundreds of volunteers serving them. But all of us, through our resources, our time, our energy, the way this campus is prepared, get the opportunity to invest in the next generation. I also look around the room at a lot of seniors. I was with a friend on Friday night who was sharing with me about his dad. He said, my dad, not a good dad, alcoholic, not available for us as kids. When he wanted me to go in one sport, I remember asking him, what sport, Dad, do you hate the most? And he named the sport, and he said, so that's the sport that I chose. That's the home he grew up in, he said. But my dad, 20 years before he died, gave his life to Jesus. And he became my hero. He became the greatest influence. So what we're saying, and I hope you get in this series, it is never too late to disciple a child. So please hear that. So we're going to start today with some questions. And I'll be honest, most of the questions we've received are going to be in next week because of that adult-child-parent relationship. Most of the majority of questions we received were from parents with struggling relationships with their adult children, or adult children trying to figure out how to, be a good child to their parents in their senior years. We're going to talk about that next week. But I'm going to start with this question today because I'm grateful for the young man that sent it in. And I think just by sending in this question, I just want you to hear from me, and I speak on behalf of this church. We are proud of you, just for the question. A young man with his first child and separated from the child's mother, and he just asked this question. As someone who has struggled with the realization of my own responsibility in life to this day, how do I begin to steward my child into responsibility and adulthood while still struggling with it myself? How many of you agree with me that that's a fantastic question? That question alone shows that you are on the right path and that you're going places. So I want to start with the text that we talk about often here and understand, we looked at it last week, the scripture only speaks about two seasons of life, childhood and adulthood. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, he uses the word child, speaks about child five times. He says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. Have you ever tried reasoning with a toddler? That's a lot of fun, isn't it? When Carson wasn't even 2 years old, we were on a plane one time, and he was kicking the seat in front of him. And I'm one of these, I never want to be a bother to anybody around us, so I kept restraining him. And I'm just talking to him about why we don't want to bother people around us. And every time I'd move my hand, he'd, you know, just another one right in the back. And I remember, I put my hand down and go, Carson, no more kicking the seat. And I'll never forget him sitting there waiting for me to remove my hand, and he looked over at me. Reasoning doesn't work with small children. And that's why we said last week, if you have small kids, this is the most control you'll ever have. You're moving from control to influence, reasoning. But how many of us in adulthood think like children, talk like children, reason like children? What are the favorite words of children? Me, mine, I want, I need. And he says this, when I became a man, so there it is, from child to man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. So to answer your question, I would start with this. A lot of it has to do with stuff, and I always want to encourage my 20-something friends with this. If you're trying to figure out how do I deal with the entitlement that I know grips our generation, the easiest way I can put this is stop trying to accumulate in 3 years what your parents have spent 30 years accumulating. And some of you are like, I can't believe where interest rates are at. I can't afford a house. I just want you to hear this. It's okay to rent if that's what you can afford. You're like, you should see the cruddy car I drive with 250,000 miles on it. I just want you to know Dave Ramsey is proud of you. He's proud of you. You don't have to drive your parents' cars. You don't have to live in their houses. You don't have to wear their clothes. And you probably can't afford to go on the vacations and the trips that they're going on. So part of accepting responsibility as a young person and now with the care of a child, I just want you to know you don't have to accumulate so much stuff. Number two, I would encourage you with this. Okay, give yourself permission to learn and grow just like you want your son to learn and grow. Now you get to walk alongside it together. And here's what I would say as your small child starts to grow up in the home and celebrate and cheer on, as we'll talk about at the end of the message, celebrate and cheer on when they do take on responsibility. I remember I used to do, we had an ash tree, and if you know anything about trees, ash trees are real dense. And I could have taken it down with a chainsaw, but I sent Carson, when he was very small, out there to take it down with an axe, knowing that he whacked on that thing for 2 hours and got about that far into it. And I came out and go, way to go, son. Keep going. You should have it by tomorrow, I'm convinced. But celebrate when they take on responsibility. Celebrate when you take on responsibility. Give yourself the same permission to learn and grow as you want in your child. And then this is what I want to encourage you. If you want to take and put away the ways of childhood, take little steps that adults with adult money take. So this is going to, I know everybody, I get so much pushback on this, but it's such a simple application point. The next time you go out to eat with your parents, you pick up the check. That's what adults do. And I know some of them are going, my parents are loaded. They don't need my money. That's not the point. You're not picking up the check for them. You're picking up the check for you. You're like, how often do I have to do that? Like once every 5 to 10 years is all I'm saying. Like, but as a parent, I'll speak on behalf of a lot of parents in here. My daughter and her husband, they'll do this. They'll be like, Dad, we're taking you out to dinner tonight and we're paying. Okay, I'm not real hungry. I'll go. I'm going to do water and a side salad. I don't want to inconvenience you. But take some adult steps in it. But I just want to say proud of your question, because Proverbs 23, this text, a lot of parents you meet today are wanting to raise successful children. Understand, the influence we're talking about isn't just raising successful children. We want children who know Jesus and follow the Lord. That's the joy that comes to us. The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. And there's no greater joy for a parent. 1 John, right, says that when you see them following the Lord, when you see them following the Lord, may your father and mother rejoice, and may she who gave you birth be joyful. Let's go on to another question, several of them, and then I'm going to take a turn in the message. I'm currently going through a divorce with young kids. I still pray over their future spouses and try to paint a beautiful picture of marriage for their future. Any other ways to help them succeed in marriage with God at the center? And here's the first thing I would say, and we say it often around here. If you're going through this situation, keep Scripture in the driver's seat, not your experience, not your emotion. As you talk about it, keep Scripture in the driver's seat. If you're going to paint a beautiful picture of marriage, start with what the Scripture says about marriage. Do what Jesus did in Matthew 19 when he said, haven't you read? And then he quotes from Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. He says, male and female, he created them. And it's for this reason that a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife. This is where we start. We have the us bus here. I'm not denying your experience and the pain that you're going through as part of your story, and it's part of your emotion. I'm just going to encourage you, keep your emotion out of the driver's seat of the conversation with your kids. You be the voice of calm in the home. In other words, I can't say it any clearer than this, never bash your ex-spouse at home or online. Better yet, don't even talk about your marriage online. Yeah, I bet some people this week have seen it. I bet some people have seen it this week, someone sharing very publicly about something that's very intimate. And we've all had that moment. We don't hit the like button, we don't comment, but we're just like, ew, no, not the forum for that. So how do you paint a beautiful picture? One of the best ways to teach your children to honor God, others, and you is to honor each other. It's to esteem one another as highly valuable. Keep going. One more question, and then we're going to bring Stephanie Watson out here. Ted, how do I find balance between showing my children grace and understanding while trying to stay consistent and raise obedient followers of Christ? Can I? That's a real nice way to say what I think they're really asking. Ted, how do I show the love of Jesus and bring the hammer down at the same time? Ted, how do I just walk in grace in this home and kapow when they do something dumb? That is the struggle of every parent. If you're not struggling with that, I don't think you're doing parenting well. Gary Smalley shared this chart years ago. Amy and I took it in for raising our kids and the key to your child's heart. And he just says, parenting, there's two extremes in parenting. You have the permissive parent. There's no rules. There's no consequences. You do what you want. You live how you want. You just come and go in this home, be whoever you want to be. And then on this side is the dominant parent. And most parents I experience, if they grew up in church, lean toward dominant. It's my way or the highway. There's rules in this home, you're going to follow them, and it's just that ruling with an iron fist. And you know, if you go to even extremes beyond this chart, beyond permissive, you're going to get to neglectful. Beyond dominant, you're into that authoritarian style of leadership. And Gary said, the tension for every parent is to live in the middle and be firm and loving. Firm and loving, clear. Paul brought this very clearly to the forefront for dads in Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Do not provoke them to anger. Don't be unreasonable in your parenting, is what he's saying. Don't be unreasonable. Do what we talked about last week. And I hope as you read the scripture, and every time you see parenting and family discussed, you see the emphasis on Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. So don't be unreasonable with your kids. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. There is a God. There's only one God. He is the Lord, and he is our Lord, and we will love the Lord. Psalm 78 is a great text. We're only going to look at three verses, but I want you to know the context of this. This text is leading to speaking. In verse 8, you read it, "You stubborn and rebellious ancestors." Don't be like your stubborn and rebellious ancestors who neglected instructing the next generation about the Lord. And here's what we read in verse 5. "He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children." These commandments are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. "So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born." And it's the desire and heart of this church for the next generation to be walking in the way of the Lord. "And they in turn would tell their children." Verse 7. "Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds," as we sang about today, "but would keep his commands." So with that, we want to be very practical with how do you take the influence of the home? How do you take the influence of mom and dad, the primary author of a child's heart, and how do you bring in the influence of the church? Because we all in here right now and across this campus and our church family that's watching online, we all have a role to play in this. And so for the last 18 years, this church has been blessed with a family ministries director. Her name is Stephanie Watson. She has been very nervous today, so here's what I would like. When she steps out, I would like her to step out. I want it to feel like Arrowhead and pretend Mahomes just found Kelsey in the end zone. Would you please help me welcome Stephanie Watson to the stage?
Thank you. Thank you, Ted.
She loves that attention. Thank you.
I do.
For yes. That. Did that take
so
the
much.
Edge off?
It did. It did.
I'm
feel
sure
so relaxed
it did.
Now.
All right.
Appreciate
so,
it.
So we visit a lot of churches in the country, and we're not competing or not comparing, but I can tell you this. She has given the better part of 20 years to researching family ministries, to researching family. Her passion is what we're talking about today, the combined influence of the church and the home. She's so well-read. She's almost like a private investigator online. So,
it's true.
You know, yeah. You know, so if you think you're getting away with something online, she has probably found it. She's so well-researched, but she has a passion for the families of this church, and you have a lot of responsibility. And you break it down into a real simple outline of you, we, us. So take us through that outline, and then we're going to look at some very practical ways that the church can join in with parents on influence.
Well, the first one is the you, and that's the parent. Ted already hit on this a lot last week, but we have to prioritize our own spiritual journey. That's the best way that we're going to be able to help our kids' faith grow, is to show them what that looks like. And so you mentioned last week that they are going to be having a front row seat to what we're doing. They're going to be modeling themselves after us. And so that's a huge reason why we want to prioritize it. But also, we are going to need the help of the Holy Spirit. When it comes to parenting, all of us are kind of doing it for the first time. We don't know what we're doing. I used to tease my boys and tell them that they were kind of like science experiments. But we need his help, because every kid's different. We want to ask people for help, but we have the source of the greatest help. And so we really want to just dig into that. And then the other thing is, when you are prioritizing your own spiritual journey, then you're going to have stories that you're going to be able to share with them. The way that God's showing up for you, the way that he is answering your prayers. Last year when we were moving, my daughter Emma was helping me clean out this prayer closet that was under the stairs. And it was a really cool moment, because one of the pieces of paper that had fallen off of the little bulletin board had on it that I was praying for Lucy and Emma to become friends. And whenever anyone who knows my kids now always comment on just how they love seeing how my kids love one another. But that was not always the case, thus the prayer request. And so when Emma saw that, she was like, "Mom." And she's like, "We need to do something with that. I think I saved it." It was a tough time trying to get out of that house. So I tried to save it, and we needed to do something special with it, because it was just a faith-building moment when she could see that God had answered that prayer in a really big way.
Yeah, and so we say it often here, that the worst marriage on the planet is a husband and wife connected to each other as the source of life. The best marriage on the planet is a husband and wife firing each other as the source plugging into the true and only source and then spending their days giving each other the overflow. With our children being the, we need to know who our source is, because our job is not to plug our children into us as the source. Our job is to point our children to the true and only source each and every day, constantly pointing them from the time we get up to the time we go to sleep at night, as we walk along the way, as we sit at home, we're pointing them to the source. We have fallen for this faulty input-output theory of parenting that says, whatever I pour into my child is what I will get out of my child. And the Hebrew term for that is, ha! It's just not true.
Yeah.
Your job, mom and dad, is to continually point your kids to the Lord. So that's the you.
Yes. And then it's the we, that's the church. We want to make the 1 hour that we have every week with the kids count. We take that hour really seriously. And so we want to lean into where they are developmentally. So we really look at where, what kind of phase that they're in and where they're at. So with babies, really it is about the parents. We want parents to come in and be undistracted in their worship. So we want to give them a really safe environment for their kids. We know that's the best thing we can do for babies is let their parents be fed spiritually. When it comes to preschoolers, those kids are all about repetition and role play. Anyone who's been around a preschool has watched the same episode or movie hundreds of times. They know every single word. And so we just tap into that whenever we're working with our preschoolers. We just kind of hit them in different ways with the same message all morning long. And then whenever we get into the elementary years, that's Wildwoods and Crew, we are going to lean in on their love language, which is fun. They also are starting to really develop friendships as well, and those relationships matter. So we do lots of competitions and games, but then also give them plenty of time to be able to connect with one another and their small group leader in their small group time.
Yeah, so in that's the mom and dad role. That is our role on Sunday morning. You say it all the time. How many hours?
We get 1 hour. Mom and dad gets 50 to 60 waking hours.
So this is what we said it last week, that mom and dad, they have a front row seat to your marriage. They have a front row seat to your parenting, a front row seat to your driving, a front row seat to your faith. They have a front row seat. And so everything we do in that hour is to consider what's going on in the 50 to 60 hours.
Right. And we want to build a lifelong love of the church. The church is the bride of Christ. And so we really do want to make their time here fun. And that's why we talk about teaching Jesus at their level, because we know fun is what's going to help make it stick. And we want them to look back when they get to be grown. We want to look back at their time in church fondly and not feel like, oh, that was torture to be there. If anything, we want them to make sure that they are going to drag their parents to church, even when they're tempted to sleep in an extra hour and watch it online.
So that's the you, the we.
And then there's the us. And we call that the power of us. And it's what we do with the rest of our resources and our time. And that is to give parents tools so that they can be intentional at home. Many parents didn't grow up with a Christian example, so they don't have anything to model at after. They would love to be able to be intentional with their kids, but they're like, how do we do that? So we want to give these tools to them in a way that they can easily incorporate them into their life. So the first way we do that is just simply cheering them on. Mm-hmm. I've had so many people send me the same meme, so it's hilarious. Every family has secrets until a Sunday school teacher asks a group of kids if they have any prayer requests. So we've got your back, parents. We expect the best, and we keep confidentiality. So all of those things. That's the first way.
You say you have our back. When our kids were small and I was teaching my son about his body, we used anatomically correct terms in our family. And so we taught him about his body, and then, you know, he's talking about it with people and everything. And I remember picking him up in Critter Street, and the teacher goes, Pastor, can I talk to you for a second? And I walked over, and I think she had our back, though.
I think so. Yeah. I'm sure there was no judgment there.
I felt she was a little judgy. I'm just going to be honest.
Well, then this leads to the second. The next thing we do is we equip leaders to become part of your tribe. We know that parents need others to come alongside them, and we figure they already know all your secrets, so you might as well bring them into the inner circle. So keep them close, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then we actually give some tangible resources. One of the ways that we try to partner with parents in a tangible way is through social media. We'll put on Saturday night what the kids are going to be learning in all of our areas on Sunday morning. So just in case you ask them what they learned and they don't remember, you can give them something to prompt that conversation. Another way we do that is through what we call God time sheets. And that's a daily devotional that the kids can do over the course of 5 days during the week. And those are those drops in the bucket that add up. If you spend 5 minutes, 5 days a week, I did the math, that's 16 and a half hours in a year. And that is a huge discipline that's going to be formed in a kid that's just going to be something that they can build on for the rest of their lives. Another way that we do that is through our family resources. So we started a tabletop box back in at the beginning of the school year, and that is something that families can use around the dinner table or at a picnic, in the car, as they're enjoying a meal together, to be able to be intentional with that time, to start conversation. I brought this one. I don't think Ted remembered it, but he gave us this, he and Amy gave us this, along with a fondue set that we had lots of fun with about 10 or 12 years ago. And it really helped us change the way that we interacted around the family table. Before, the boys would be talking about football or their practices, and the girls would be having other side conversations. And when we started just having just a fun conversation starter, it really kind of let us learn more about one another, and it kind of got us all talking together. And so that really inspired us when we started thinking about how can we help families around the table. So each month we've been adding to that more and more conversation starters. We even had to put some games in there. Parents like the conversation starters better than the games, we've found out. So more of those to come. But we feel like if you can get your kids start talking when they're young, they're going to keep talking to you when they're older and whenever it really matters. And so those are some of the ways that we really prioritize getting resources into the hands of parents.
And so the combined influences, the Watson family, so you have four kids. And one of the reasons she's up here is not just because she's our family ministries director, but you're a great mom.
Thank you.
And I don't even know how to say this, great grandma. You're not a great grandma. you're great at grandma. Anyway, you know what I mean by that. Anyway, but she has five grandchildren.
I'm a lolly, everyone.
You have five grandchildren. Four of them were born how many days apart?
38 days apart this past summer.
So she has been very busy. But one of the things
tired but happy.
The Watson family and the Cunningham family, and this is what we hope happens within our church among families, but the Watson family and the Cunningham family, we raised our kids together. One of the traditions we had every summer, we went to family camp. At 13 years in a row, we went to camp. And so we got to see their parenting. They got to see our parenting. We got to see how successful it was in some situations and not in others. They got to see how successful it was in some and not in others. But my favorite, absolute favorite story from the Watsons, we're at family camp, and I'm on the front porch, and Andy Watson, Stephanie's husband, is the most laid-back, fun-loving, and doesn't say a whole lot. But I was sitting on the porch by myself in a lawn chair, and he comes walking down the path, and he's mad. He's not saying a whole lot. Roy, his son, is about 10 feet behind him. And Andy walks by. He usually says hey or nods to me. Just blew right past me into his room. And Roy walks by. And at that time, Roy, he had a little swagger, to him. And he stopped and looked at me. And he just kind of gave me one of these. And I go, is everything okay? And he goes, oh, everything's great. We're just going into the room to have a talk about my attitude. And so
that talk was very effective.
It was very effective.
It worked.
He's in ministry now at First Baptist Branson. So anyway, it worked. So I love the idea of combined influences, and when you have other parents walking alongside you, and you've been that for us. So all of this we're talking about so far, you not only taught that here, but you practiced that with our family, and for that we're grateful.
Thank you. Well, one other way that we do like to partner with parents is just by creating events that are fun that they can just show up to and make memories. We had one last week with our Critter Street Storytime, and it was just a party that kids got to come show up to. They don't have to bring a gift. You get to pretty much enjoy a birthday party with all the themed things that you could think of. Well, when we were planning our photo booth, someone was like, hey, we should have live chicks, and we all laughed, and there was like, no, absolutely. Like, for $15, we can have a core memory.
You brought a picture of
for
them.
Like
Let's
a couple
them.
Hundred kids. Yeah, we've got these. So happen to be three of my four newest
editions.
I was
concerned for their safety, but they're only like $3 a piece. You don't need to.
Yeah, you should be. That big no, of a deal. The chickens were only mildly harmed in the making of story time. But they are living a good life on a farm at this point. So.
Welcome to the Ozarks.
Yeah, that's right.
You wouldn't have this illustration in California for my friends that just moved here, yeah. Just so you know. Yeah. No chicks were hurt in the picture.
But anyway. We try not to miss an opportunity to have a core memory with the kiddos.
Yeah.
But when we think about all of these, we don't want to like overwhelm parents with what all we have to offer, what all that they should do, because we know that there's already a lot on their plates. Can be really overwhelming. I remember going through the Friday folders on Friday, and I just like even thinking about Friday folders gets me stressed out because there's just so much to do.
To people who don't know what Friday folders means, what is a Friday folder?
Well, at the end of every week, you have to go through and decide which papers you keep, which papers you discreetly like throw in the trash, what permission
artwork.
Slips you have to get back. I mean, yeah. it's a whole thing.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so
and
we
all
understand.
I just wanted you to do that because there's dads in here that kids go to school and they have no idea what a Friday
yeah.
folder is.
Yeah.
And I just,
support your wife with the Friday folders. No, the dads will just be like, trash.
You've heard the Nate Bargatze joke where the school calls Nate, can you come pick up your kid? And he's like, why are you calling me?
Yeah.
Why are you calling the dad? And anyway, they convince him to come pick up the kid. And he's like, all right, I'll come get him. Where's it at?
It is true. That hits close to home, actually. But seriously, we really want our resources that we're giving these parents to be in a way that meets them where they're at. We talked about social media. We'll give you lots of papers that may or may not make it out of the car or even to the car. But we try to give it in lots of different ways so that parents can utilize it. We talk about being intentional. These are ways that you can sprinkle that intentionality into what you're already doing. You talked about Deuteronomy 6, where we're instructed to talk about these things as we walk along the road, as we lie down, as we get up. And so every family has a rhythm. And so if you can just incorporate some of these practices into what you're already doing, those little practices will add up. We don't expect parents to do all of the things because it can be a lot.
And I like what you say. You don't want to add one more thing to our plate. It is truly your everyday walk along the road life.
And just like the title of this, if we could just be intentional, and a little intentionality will add up over time.
And this next one, the last one, is a big deal. And you talk about the temperature of the home and how to take the temperature.
Yes.
And I love this next slide because it's a tough stat. And I just wanted to call out something. Mm-hmm. Stephanie's a mom, a grandma, children's family ministry director, but she's also an artist. So what she does when you give her a real sad stat is she makes a real
makes
pretty slide with it to try it to...
I can't take credit for that, but I did ask for it to be cute. Yeah, it needs to be happier. Let's have a happy...
Explain the five common factors.
So the five common factors that of kids who stayed connected to the church. The first one was families who ate dinner together. That's why we did the Table Talk box. It's not about the actual food. It's about the connection. They served with their families in ministry. And again, that is a time where parents can model serving and doing that together. Having one spiritual experience in the home during the week, that's something that we give you with those family resources. Entrusted with responsibility in ministry at an early age. I love this one. We have a student serve program. Jared will be talking about that next week, but he and his team have taken it to the next level. We have about 30 to 40 students who serve in our children's ministry. They serve in other areas as well, but just in children's ministry, there's 30 to 40 of them, and they make a huge impact, and they have been entrusted with some really important things, and they are like the life of the party.
And you'll hear people say often, the next generation is looking for a seat at the table. At this church, they have one, and that's in student serve. We'll talk about it more next week, but I love the fact that if we want mom and dad to serve, we're also wanting the young people to serve as well.
Yes, and then the last one is having at least one faith-focused adult other than mom and dad. And so we've seen other studies that say 4 to 5 other adults, and that's where our small group leaders, that's where you can have that tribe that comes in. But after you brought in the speaker that came and talked to our staff a couple of months ago, he is from a really big church, and they were just talking about what they saw in the young adults who had grown up in the church, what was a commonality that they saw with those who remained plugged in? And he said it was fun. So we loved that. We're like, yes, we're a fun church. Somebody called us the ice cream church. I don't think they meant it as a compliment, but we were like, yes, we are the ice cream church. Then we got banana peel wet floors. I don't know if anyone's noticed, but that's an honor of our ice cream church. So we love the idea of a home that is fun. And so really when I thought more about that, it's like, doesn't always have to just be fun, but a home that is warm. That's kind of the glue that makes all the other things. He didn't mean this in isolation. It's along with those other things that you're already trying to instill. If you have a rigid home, like what you were talking about earlier, if your home is cold and there's no grace, that is going to be really hard to have a flourishing faith to grow in that. And so we say, take the temperature of your home. And if it's not warm and fun, it's okay. You can make adjustments towards that, because no matter what you're going through, there are families that are in just different circumstances. And sometimes you're in kind of a trial. You can still have a joyful home even in those times.
And I know you probably can't get to all of them, but you give a lot of practical ways to make the home more warm and fun.
Yes. So one of the ways is just to allow grace when there are mistakes that are being made, to be able to connect, even whenever we've got so many other things vying for our attention, go ahead and make that time together. Even if it's a movie night, you're all doing something that is focused at the same thing. Even now, if I have a movie night with any of my kids, if I'm on my phone during movie night, they're like, are you watching? Like, and these are adults. Like, you have to be doing the things together. I love the image from this because it's a dance party. This is a simple way to just turn on some music and have a
Would you demonstrate that? Who would like Stephanie to demonstrate that? Let's go.
I would floss for you, but I think I think this would be my last day. No, I don't have any rhythm at all. So ours weren't pretty dance parties, but they were funny dance parties. So they were fun. And then just celebrating milestones, big and small milestones. I was thinking about one thing that we did, like whenever we first moved to Branson. I know we were just kind of like on a budget, and it was Valentine's Day lined up with $1.99 Happy Meal night, and it was awesome because we served those Happy Meals with candlelight, and we put their root beer and stemware, and so you can really make a memorable moment. You can make fun without it having to cost a lot of money. You can just turn on some music and have a dance party, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, would you help me thank Stephanie, who does a phenomenal job?
Thank you.
Hey, she was so nervous at 8:15 after I said, thanks, Stephanie. She goes, and then she just kind of, she
left.
She didn't know what to do. You stand right there. It's a comfortable, these aren't this, they look intimidating, but they're not as scary as they are. A verse I keep coming back to, I just love this verse. I think I said 1 John, but it's 3 John chapter 1. Verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And this is joy for our church, what we're talking about today. Joy for our families. If you're like, I don't have kids at home. Listen, you're part of a church that takes this seriously. And I would say on this warm and fun, we take fun seriously. We take the truth seriously. We take the temperature of our homes, the rhythms of our homes, and what we're teaching our kids and influencing them with seriously. So I know on behalf of Stephanie and I both, we're very grateful for you. Thank you for your giving today that goes to support. Will there be 500 kids on this campus? And this is coming from an empty nester and an empty nester. We're just grateful for all of your investment in the next generation. Next week, we're gonna hit part 3, which is doing life with your teen and adult child. Would you pray with me? Father, I'm grateful to be a part of a church that we don't ever have to defend this. We love to explain it. We love to cast the vision, but people get this. They understand the importance of it. And we are taking the mantle of leadership and responsibility for those of us that are getting up there in years and have raised our kids, and we find no greater joy than being able to hand this off to the next generation to begin to lead in these ministries and to be able to partner with a whole new generation of parents. We want our kids to know there is a God, there's only one God, He is the Lord, He is our Lord, and we will love the Lord. And for that, we are grateful. Thank you for this church. We pray all this in the authority of the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed and said, amen. Amen. Love y'all. Hope you have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.